Thanks for coming, Murph.
All right, 1,080. Let's do it.
The high def show.
Best show here.
Tech show.
Who's the best show here?
Tech show.
Good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O Showtime.
Just swinging in the breeze.
I'd like sweet meat.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies down a Lincoln bat. For the stream length, go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1,080 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Alan.
Hello, hello.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Murphy Baby.
Hey there.
And it is with a heavy heart and sad news that we bring you that we have to say co-founder of this show, Link Fezzenden, real great guy, passed away on Saturday. Saturday, correct?
Yep, Saturday.
Yes, he had, as most of us are aware, he had been fighting kidney failure for a long time, correct? And was on dialysis for a while, and you know, really hoping he was doing better, and he passed away on Saturday, which is real shock. I mean, it was a shock to my wife and to Paige, who also knew him very well, because I met Link when I got interested in particularly Linux. We were both at the time kind of looking for a lug in the area. We lived in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania at the time. And we had, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, met originally on a forum somewhere, maybe, or I don't think it was a news group. I think it was. We were looking somewhere that.
Michelle corrected me. The 13th. He passed away on Friday.
Oh, on Friday. Okay. I heard about. Yeah. I heard about it on Saturday from you, Joel. So, yeah. So Friday.
Yeah. Same here.
And we were looking for a lug, both of us, and there were resources for looking for lugs at the time. I think they were forums or whatever. I don't think it was off of Linux Questions. I don't remember where it was. And we had talked. There was a group in the area, and I'm thinking this is going back around 1997 or 8. No, it had to be a little later than that. It was 98 or 99, I guess. And we had found the computer users group of the Lehigh Valley. They had a special interest group for Linux, but we had decided that we would go to their monthly meeting that they were having down there at Mack Trucks in Allentown, Pennsylvania, their conference hall in there. We went there. We sat through the whole thing. It wasn't for us. Let's put it that way. It wasn't the kind of group they were looking for. It was like people who skewed very old. Now I'm like, it skewed to my age now, our age, Joel, like 60s, 70s, retirees.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And they had somebody in there talking about all the things that you could do with PrintShop Pro, which you could get down in Staples for $20 and then free with a mail-in rebate. If you buy two other things, or I, you know, one of those crazy things. So, and they were showing, you know, you can make T-shirts and posters and hats and coffee cups and stuff like that. And it's like, yeah, this is not what we're looking for in a group. And
yeah,
the Linux Special Interest Group, which was headed by Jeff Zartler at the time, really great guy. They were doing some interesting stuff, but we wanted something a little more advanced. They were mostly doing like installs and stuff like that. And that was great, because he was helping those guys get up to speed on distributions that were available, getting them installed on computers, and was really helpful in that. I mean, he did a great job. But, you know, every meeting it was more or less, we're installing Mandrake or this. And that's not really what we were looking for. So Link and I started the Linux, Lehigh Valley Linux Users Group, and it was a fun time. I mean, it was really cool and fun to get together with like-minded people that were very much interested in and not just learning Linux, you know, getting it installed, but also like doing stuff with it. And there was a whole lot of people. So Link was like really instrumental in getting that off the ground in the Lehigh Valley. We had, I think, our first meeting in his basement, and a handful of people showed up. We did that a couple of times, at which point it was getting to be a larger group that we started shifting it around to other people's houses. I know we had one at my place. I don't think we had one at my place. We had a few at another place in Lower Saucon, somebody's house. But it was relatively in that circle there of Bethlehem, Lower Saucon, and Easton. And then we hooked up with somebody who, oh goodness, he worked for a company. Do you remember who it was, Alan? That he got us in over there.
I don't remember
office.
Who it was, but he, yeah, it was a training place.
Yeah, it was off of Cedarcrest Boulevard. It was off of Cedarcrest Boulevard. So we graduated from.
I don't remember who it was, though.
Yeah, I can't. Tom, I think his name was, wasn't it? I could look back through the mailing list. Yeah, we did the mailing. We had the mailing list and the forums and all sorts of stuff. It was a great. Randy Kramer was a name I remember. Jeff Zartler, Murph would show up. You, of course, you, Alan, you were there right, very early on. And we had the meetings.
I think I started like this, the second meeting in Link's basement.
Yeah. And we had the meetings once a month. Did we have meetings at that diner? We used to have the meetings at that diner, didn't we? Because I think after.
Yeah, the diner up on Grape Street.
Yeah, we could no longer go to that training place. I think the guy moved on or something. So we were at the diner at Grape Street for a while. And then we ended up at Moravian College, which is where it was still going on after I left. And now I cannot remember the name of the professor there that set that all up for us, because he was part of the group. Gosh, man, that was so long ago. And if I'm not mistaken, it was did we start the show before we went to Moravian College? Or were we at Moravian College and then that's when we started the show? I think it was that, wasn't it?
I think it was slightly before.
Oh, well, maybe it was.
Yeah, and the early shows, it was you. Maybe it was. It was you, Alan, and Link. That's
right.
And then Pat joined later.
Yeah, so when we were doing the log, one of the problems that we had with the log is that there was only like a few people that would actually bring content to the log. You know what I mean? So it got to be a lot. Especially at the age that we're at, where we got the kids running around, you're not too far into you're at the early stages of your job, or your career, you know, all that stuff going on. So it was hard to come, like, and it was just, it was nice. We wanted to have something as well as be able to hang out, to justify having some of that space that we were taking up. And, you know, just hanging out was cool too. But for some reason, we always would like to have a presentation where somebody's learning something or teaching somebody else something. And then
yeah, most of the time it was you.
Well, there was that, or Link, or you did some stuff, Alan. Don't sell yourself short. Yeah, anyway, Link and I had talked. One of the early things that we really wanted to do, because there wasn't much out there at the time, was like maybe a newsletter for Linux. Like there, because there was I think Linux Magazine, but there was like tons of other like Windows magazines and a few Apple magazines or something like that. But there was a ton of computer magazines surrounding Windows. But there was not much with Linux, and we toyed with the idea of a newsletter or trying to create a magazine. We actually then thought about, like, the newsletter would have been a printed thing. But then we were like, well, maybe we should do something electronically. And then we were playing around with some of the publishing tools, and I forget, I want to say Scribus. We were going to put out like a PDF newsletter / magazine kind of thing. We were talking about that, but then that was like, oh, if we don't have enough time to do a presentation every month for the freaking lug, how are we going to do like spend the time putting together a freaking newsletter with having to do all that?
Show.
Yeah. So that's where the Linux Link domain had come from, because I got that domain because I wanted to do something like that right before I met Link, and then he was talking about doing the same thing, and that's how we got the idea. Like after the lug was great, and so we had batted this around for a couple of years, and then I think it was Link was like, we should do a radio show or a web radio show. And he's like, you know, we can. And I was like, I was looking at streaming servers and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, we should be able to do that. And so what we wanted to do was to actually get something streaming and do it ourselves and not be relying upon another another service. So at the time, I had a handful of computers that I had were cast-offs from where I worked. One was a compact Presario server, which was loud as hell. We had to put that thing in the closet.
The jet engine.
Yeah, that was so freaking loud. Good thing the dog didn't pee on that. But I don't know if he could have ruined it, because that thing was just – that was a workhorse, man. That thing – it was a monster. Anyway, one Saturday, I recall that Link and I were talking together on the phone. He was at his place, and I was over there, and we were playing around with Icecast, and I think I settled on Dynabolic at the time, because we were just having a heck of a time getting anything like Icecast, Dark Ice, or whatever it was, Dark Snow, Icecast, just getting it to communicate with the streaming server. And then I believe it was Dynabolic had it, and we got it working through that, which they had. Yep. but it was called BUTT, which was a tool for streaming
broadcast audio to a server. Tool.
Yeah, broadcast using this tool. And that it was dead simple. And the first thing I streamed across it was the Clash Combat Rock album. And it was working, and I was able to talk, and he could hear me on his end through the streaming server. And so then the next thing was, well, let's all get together and we'll get a couple of microphones, and we'll just stream using Butt we'll put it all into the audio in on that server there and stream it out and record it. So we but enabled us to, while it was streaming, to also record off of there. And I believe that's the way it went. So the first show that we decided to do, being idiots that we were,
I showed up with real microphones.
Yeah, so like we didn't know who was going to show up. Like we put out the invitation, so it was Link and I, and Alan showed up. And thank goodness Alan showed up, man, because Link had this like crappy stick microphone, and I didn't have anything better. Like it was
Radio Shack microphone.
It just wasn't working. And then Alan went out to. Didn't you have to go out to Radio Shack though, Alan, to get something? Like we needed something like an adapter to get it.
I brought over. I think I bought another microphone because we were short a mic for you, or one of us. Well, I don't remember who. I got the extra microphone, and I just like bought out like every adapter I could figure that would go into the back of that one.
Yeah, and
it took a while before we realized exactly which ones we needed.
Yeah, so then we were able to do that, you know, pull off doing that first show with because Alan showed up with, you know, some proper equipment. And so after a couple of weeks, months of doing that, it was really we were taken off. It was a small community, but we were getting our name out there and we were talking with people, which was cool. And Alan brought a mixer at one point, and we were still using Butt and recording it that way and doing it locally. And at one point we started using Skype because one of the advantages of that at the time was we can have guests come on, right? And that was a big thing that we wanted to do. Was have guests be able to communicate with one another. And so Skype was one of the first things, but it wasn't like open source. And there was a Linux client, but we still kind of we made do with it. And so we were going out to different shows that were going on. We went to the Linux show. Linux World Expo, the Ohio Linux Fest was a big one that we went to, and you know we started meeting more people and doing interviews and stuff, and having people on the show. Skype was helpful with that, but then you know that's when Pat came along and he was doing our notes for us. Remember that, Alan?
I do. He was also the person who was getting a lot of our interviews for us.
He was getting the notes, doing our notes for us, and then he was getting guests to come on the show. And then we're like, dude, you should just come over here and be on the show, you know, ask some questions, stuff like that. And he had the hots for Asterisk, so we got an Asterisk server up and running, and then we were using the soft phones, and that was. Yeah, you know, it was great because that allowed us to have an actual phone number that somebody could call into. And I know that Lord D used to call in a lot. I think that's how the Richard Stallman interview went, that he called in, that we did.
Correct.
And so I'm going to say that about 6 months to a year after we actually started the show was when podcasting started to take off.
Yeah.
And it was Adam Curry.
Although we were one of the first podcasts as well, though.
Right.
I think we were like in the top or the first 10 or so that were actually pushing stuff
now,
out.
20 years ago now.
Yeah. So Adam Curry had his, and then I think Matthew Bischoff was around. Now there was another kind of, so there was 2600 and Ben Rev and
Griffin and
this is before all that. So there was 2600, Ben Rev, there was a handful of other ones. Linux Show was another one that was more focused on Linux, and they were like kind of like what we emulated there at the beginning, because they were shows that would stream, but they would also on their website put their recording of the show on the site that you can download from their site if you went to it. And then Adam Curry was like, well, instead of wasting your time going to the site to do this, let's do RSS and jump on that bandwagon and do the enclosure that now instead of you having them go out there and get it, you just the RSS feed right there is published. And then the client, the pod client, whatever you wanted to call it, would automatically download it for you. So that was kind of that.
And then Link wrote Bash Potter.
Right. And so Link wrote, we started doing, I think we were actually the first Linux-based show to do a pod, quote, be the official, like, podcast. Linux show predated us, but they did not start offering an RSS feed until after we did. And not saying that we had any influence on them for doing it. You know, they were going to do it at some point because that's the way it was going. It just made sense, right? So we did that. Matthew Bischoff was there. Link wrote Bash Potter, which was one of the first, and I think it was for a while, one of the only clients that ran on Linux. And it was so simple to use, right? And it was great. And I still use it to this day. He wrote Bash Potter. And then we just did the show, man. We were on the show doing that asterisk. And then it was about, oh my goodness, 2006 or was it 2005? I forget which one it was, but when we had the asterisk server and then we could use the SIP phones, soft phones, or we had the Grandview phone. So we got, I think Pat started us with the Grandview. You had one of those, right, Alan?
Yeah, I came across it while I was moving.
Yeah, and so that was all. We each had a phone at our house that we could call, use it, you know, it was hooked up to the asterisk server, and then we could just call in or use the soft phone to call in. So there was more and more times where we would just do everybody would just stay home and do the show. He got to that. And then Link switched jobs and went to Thomas Jefferson because he had been working at that call center for the longest time. And man, they treated him like shit. They ran him ragged, man. Oh, they took advantage of that poor guy. He got down. I think it was Thomas Jefferson he started working for, and then if I'm not mistaken, moved to Philadelphia, down by the Philadelphia area. I don't think he was actually in Philadelphia, but it was not feasible for him to drive up on a Wednesday night. It was like an hour plus away to go through all that traffic to get there to do a show and then drive back home. That was so he was doing it remotely, and then I guess at some point. He moved out to California, and the time difference made it really difficult for him to join. But he was always there. Link has been had hosted our website, designed the website way back in the day, and did, you know, he was such a great guy. And I remember when I had the flood here that came down and destroyed a lot of my equipment. He was right there up front, helping me out, getting me new equipment. He sent me a laptop, and I still have that in the mix here. He's really, really a great stand-up guy, and I really appreciate him. I miss him. It's a bummer. But I'll let some other people talk, because I went off on a long one there.
Well, I know it was a good work. So
there we go. I knew. I should have just pointed at somebody. What were you going to say, Murph? And then I'll get to Alan.
Yeah, I don't have much to say. Link was always a heck of a nice guy. You know, was sort of, you know, I wasn't really in the group that much. I came to a couple users group meetings and a little of that Computers for Kids thing you guys did. But, you know, I was a long distance away, too. But Link was always a nice guy and always entertaining to talk with.
Yeah, and Alan. Man, Alan's been there from the beginning. So, you know, listen to me ramble on. Alan's probably got some stuff to add in there, too. Especially his well, Computers for Kids.
No, I mean, like... Yeah, the Computers for Kids stuff, that was always an interesting run there. You've heard about that in past shows and stuff. But no, I mean, he was super helpful in my travels here through Linux. He was always a step ahead of everybody, it seemed. So very helpful. You had a problem, you know, he gave you the answer. Sometimes he'd screw around with you, you know, make you figure out the answer, but he gave it to you. It was really good. I'm not good in this sort of situation. It's not talking about people and stuff, but
you're doing great, Alan.
Yeah, it's you know it's sad. You know, a young guy. You're all youngins compared to me, but young guy. It's you know, it's just sad. It's just I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, too young. Now I will. The interesting thing, like that was another thing. Link really, he was a great advocate. And wanted to share, always was willing to share and help out, share his knowledge, wanted to benefit others. And he was instrumental in getting Computers for Kids off the ground. And Link was in it wholeheartedly. Link got me involved with that. It was Randy Kramer from the Computer Users Group or whatever that was, the LV, Lehigh Valley Computer Users Group. And with Link's help, we had built a distro specifically for this group. Now, of course, it was based off of, I think, was it Puppy Linux? Because we were working with really... It started with an X. I can't remember what... It was, I forget what the dish
was. Not so, Zandros, was it?
No, it wasn't Zandros. Oh my goodness. It was we started with a very minimal distribution. I think it might even have been based off of Slackware. And we actually built an installer for it and everything had all the packages. We made some packages for it. It was called Linux for Kids distro, I guess it was Air Products, I think, was the company that had donated a ton of computers that they were getting rid of, and we were dealing with like really small hard drives at the time, like a few hundred meg to 500 meg. I think there might have been like we were lucky to have something with a gig on it. And even at that time, to get a Linux distro, fit it in there, and kind of provide somebody everything that they might want to use. Like, the idea was we get this Linux distribution out, and it's got everything a kid would want to use to do schoolwork and maybe some games on it, right? And there were not a lot of Linux games on there, especially brand name Linux games, AAA games or whatever, that you would go out to a store buy that sold computer software and buy a game like a Best Buy or USA Today or whatever. But anyway, they were going to donate these computers to kids who couldn't afford them and then run a class on how to use the computer. So if you got the computer, the only thing that you had to do was you would come in on a Saturday and they would give you a training class on how to use the computer. And then you could come back and be part of that group and learn more if you wanted to. So we were specific in doing the actual providing the computer. And Randy had had come to Link and said, I want to do Linux because I think Linux is the future and this is going to be great and we're going to get it out to all these people. Can you guys do something? And we did. We built this distribution and we were able to install it onto the hard drive. We had a lot of limitations. It had a word processor on it. It had a bunch of games, a bunch of edutainment stuff. So it wasn't the greatest thing since sliced bread, but we had a functional system, and we spent weeks and countless like full weekends all day long into the night. And I was doing this at home too, doing the installations. And what quickly became apparent was since we were dealing with different hard drives and stuff like that, and just trying to get this thing to install on many different things of different types of hardware was a little bit of a pain and kind of slow. So then we figured, well, we could just dupe the disks, like disks, and so we started doing that and just chucking this the hard drives into the system after we duped them, and that worked out a lot better. We were able to get a lot more done in a shorter period of time. So we had spent a couple of months doing this. Alan was there, Murph was there every day. Every time I was there, I mean, Link was doing a lot more with Randy, I think, than I was. So he was. I remember he was in Randy's house and they were doing stuff. And then when we got the space down there in Allentown, that we were all doing stuff out of there, and it was going on. Like Randy Kramer was there like every day of the week trying to get these things, cause they wanted a ton of them. And then came the day that we were going to distribute these to people. There was a press release that went out, and Randy Kramer spoke to and promoted this through the local newspaper, and we got the article, and it just talked about how Randy had partnered with Air Products to give these machines, and Air Products gifted Randy with this group, Computer for Kids, with like 200 copies of Windows that they can install on there. And it was just like, and at the end of it was like a little blurb. Oh, and also they worked with the Lehigh Valley Linux users group to get, you know, some stuff there. And there was like almost no mention of anything we were doing. Yeah, nothing. Like we had spent months and all this time doing this, and just, and we had never seen a Windows machine in there at all. This was all Linux stuff. And how that they were granting these licenses, and Randy was like, oh yeah, well, so we're gonna have two systems, and apparently I guess the best systems that they were able to get, which were like a lot better than what we were working with, they did have Windows on them, and I don't know whatever happened to them or where they went out to, but I know that we had delivered and they had provided these computers, because we were there on the day that the stuff that we did, we gave them away, and they were supposed to come back and have a class, but the people who were going to conduct this class never bothered to learn anything that we did or learn anything about Linux. So it was kind of a disaster. And then I guess the thing that Link had a falling out with Randy, and I don't know if you were part of this, Murph or Alan, but it was, I think, a day or two before we were supposed to do a telethon, participate in the local PBS telethon. And it was going to give Randy a moment to promote Computers for Kids. And he had called this up and said, hey, if you guys come on here, you'll get the opportunity to promote the lug. I'll talk about the lug, and we'll talk about all these things. And we were there. I know I was there. I think Link had a falling out right before this, so he didn't. He wasn't going to show up. And I was thinking to myself, I shouldn't show up either, but I was already committed to it. I think Jen, I think that's her name, Jen, who was in the LV lug, She was there and participated. And then at the end, I was there with Randy, and I saw him go up and talk about it. And it was just the Morning Call article all over again. He talked about Air Products. He talked about Microsoft gifting licenses. And that was it. Didn't even mention us. Didn't even mention any of the work that we did. So I was like, that's it. I'm done. And we both had it out. We told him, get the hell out of here. We're not doing anything. He screwed us over. And I don't know. He ditched town at some point a couple years later, from what I understand. And that all fell apart, whatever he was working on. But, there we go, Alan.
He's like some ghost chaser or something, didn't he turn into?
Yeah, that's what he did. But it was unfortunate. I mean, Link really put a lot of heart and soul. I mean, all of us did. But, you know, it was unfortunate that happened. But we still got Linux out to a bunch of kids. Yay. Right?
And hopefully they were using it too.
Yeah, and then there were kids because I remember sitting down talking with kids. They're like, how do we get more software on this? This is fun. You know. Anyway, so doing the show, we went to a bunch of Linux users group, not Linux users groups, Linux Fest and Ohio Linux Fest. The first one that we went to was How We Met Joel. How We Met Your Joel.
Yeah, I rode up into that one with Link on it for the ride up there, and just remember we pulled into the parking lot and there's this guy sitting on a rock with a bag, and I'm like, oh great, homeless people, and Link's like, no, I think that's Gorkon.
Because I said look, we even got a homeless person sitting out on the rock, and it turned out to be Joel. Where did Joel go? Yeah, he's talking, but we can't hear a damn thing he's saying.
I was going to say, thing is lighting up over here, but
it's lighting up blue.
We're not hearing him.
He didn't pay his electric bill or his phone bill or whatever. And yeah, so it was always fun going to a Linux Fest. Link, oh my goodness, Link was absolutely instrumental in early on working out deals with publishers. Pearson's and O'Reilly, he would get them to send like big boxes full of books that we could give away at the shows, and that boy was that a wonderful, badly executed raffle that we would do every freaking show. Like it only got bigger and bigger. Like we would slot, I guess, like a little bit of time at the end of the fest, right before they would do the keynote, to give away all our stuff. And we had so much stuff that it would just run way too long.
It got bigger and less organized as time went on.
Yeah, surprisingly. At which point, and I think it was Ohio Linux Fest, they were like, look, why don't you guys just do your raffle at the end of the keynote? You know, just we'll do a joint raffle, because we had so much stuff that we were always giving away. Like it was tons and tons of stuff, and it would take forever. Because you know, you would go to these places and people were selling stuff, and you know, like we donate a dollar, and we would just have a donation thing there, but you didn't have to donate anything. You're like, you want to be part of the raffle? Here's the ticket. We were just giving stuff away all the time. And we had, oh my goodness, I think, so not only did we have like the Pearson books and stuff, we would give away t-shirts and hacky sacks we had at one point. Like we would actually dump money into that. And then that's where we got hooked up with Moore Dancy, who one year just, we had so many shirts that we were just giving away at the booths it was good. It was good times. It was all flowing.
One year we gave away servers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Link brought a couple of Blade servers. They were heavy too, man. Oh my goodness, those things weighed a ton.
They weighed a ton. Plus, I was trying to carry them after my. That's when I got into the accident on the way out to the show. So I was like, my arm was screwed up. I'm trying to like carry and these like 500 pound plate servers all around.
Yeah, he got. I remember those, man. Ah, good times. And Joel, did your audio start working yet, Joel?
He was here a little bit before. I heard something talking about Joel. Can you hear me? But he's not here now, it seems.
They got him.
Yeah, they got him. But it was sad that he's. I wish he could have been on a few more times because I always missed him. I wish he was able to get back on, but he had a lot going on. 3 hour time difference. It was really tough, so it's unfortunate. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him.
I agree with you.
What time is it? Where did Joel go? He must be having technical difficulties. Did he post anything in the IRC? No, IRC. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, yeah, no, it is the IRC. What am I saying? That was another thing. So... When we started doing the show, that we wanted to do everything ourselves, so we had a lot of stuff. Like we set up our own IRC server because we didn't want to be piggybacking on somebody else. We had a bunch of blogs going on too. So the streaming server, all that stuff. We until Link realized that we can't host our own files. At least not out of our houses, because I had the streaming server over here, and Link was, I think Link had files on hosting out of his house, and that just crushed his network. It didn't work out. We had to move those somewhere else, which we now have landed on HostGator, which has been gracious, and that's where we serve a lot of our files from. Before a lot of all this technology took over, what made it a whole lot easier for consumers to have CDNs. we're still kicking it old school like that.
Now it's working.
Okay, good. And what I was going to say, where was it? Oh, yeah, so it crushed his home. We got that moved out. We had a... there wasn't any good like collaborative tools at some point. We kind of wanted to have like a notepad or like whiteboard that we can share.
Right. You had a forum for a while.
Well, we did have a forum. We hosted our own forum and stuff. But at one point, the best that we ended up doing was we ended up with this tool that we could just upload pictures and screenshots and stuff like that, and people could comment on it and stuff while we were doing the show, and we would just have that up and people could do, and we had that was like home built, and it worked for, we did that for a little bit, but then it was just like, hey, what are we doing here, you know?
Right.
and we stopped. We thought about doing video at some point, but
we did, we experimented with it for a little bit.
Yeah, and it just wasn't, it wasn't something that was, there wasn't any broadcast, what is that, broadcast studio or whatever, broadcast studio, which makes it really easy, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what is Streamlabs is one of the things that, yeah, and some of the other OBS stuff studio. Like that. OBS, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, right. Crap, what was I talking about? Skype at the time,
right.
They did do a video, and it just was too bandwidth hogging, so it wasn't wasn't any good to do that. And then
Google. We did one on Google. I can't remember.
Yeah, so when we were doing Asterisk for the longest time, there really wasn't a reason to do that. We weren't a video show, and then we did Skype. We did,
and Asterisk was such a pain in the ass to set up.
Yeah,
for Google, new people.
We did, and then we settled on after
Mumble.
After a while, we settled on Mumble, but right. we were still on Asterisk
for a long time.
When I moved down here, if I'm not mistaken,
when I first came on the show, we were, and it was a pain in the ass to get going.
Oh yeah, it was always that was always a pain to get people to,
especially guests.
It was a
real pain. Like, I went through listening to, now see, I think some of my first mentions were in 2005. Like, I listened to a show, I actually, one of the shows I listened to a little bit of in the last few days was one where I bought that Apetek video camera. Link mentioned he went out and got one, and I forget when exactly I became it's been so long that I've just been involved with this. I forget when I actually did it. It was before you guys went to Self, because I remember, I think I was a part of the show back then. I just couldn't go to Self that year, but
yeah, it was after I moved down here, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And yeah, and
you wanted to make sure that you had me, Dave, Dan Fry, and Rich Slater, but
and Alan.
Yeah, and then we had Chad Wallenberg for a little bit. He was, I forget who the first group. I know I was in the first group after you, Link, Alan, and Pat. But I think Dan Fry was, as well as Chad Wallenberg.
Man Fry, yeah.
Dave Yates, right. David took a extended hiatus for a long while, and then, of course, recently joined back, which we appreciate so much.
Yeah, but, we were using – one of the things that was easy with using the asterisk is we could actually have somebody call in using a telephone, so they didn't have to set up – the SIP phone, which was a pain in the ass to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, like, so many people had problems trying to get the thing running. I'm like, you guys are Linux experts. You shouldn't have these problems, right? Just spend a couple hours figuring it out. And then, yeah, it was.
We're like, what the hell?
Yeah. And so that was one of the problems. Like, everybody always complained, oh, your audio quality sucks. It's like, well, we're limited because when you have the landline come in, you can only do 8,000. K, like 8K, right. With a limited.
Yeah, it sounded like, but I mean, at the end of the show, you'll get to hear what it sounded like because I hear the interview that we had with Richard Solomon. But you know, I also was listening to one where we had Joe Bourne on when the Neuros 442 came out, which that's a long time ago now.
But yeah, yeah, and that. That's the thing. When we were doing the show, we're like, we're doing this on all open source or free software, and we're trying to get away with not, like, we're not spending money to do, like, we're hosting, spending money in hosting and the equipment and everything, but we're not getting paid to do this, and we're not charging for anybody to have this, and this is all on open source equipment. Software and everything, and so, you know, this is what you get. There wasn't really; those were the limitations that we were dealing with.
Yep.
And I think, you know, it was kind of weird because, like, we're over here doing the show for like nothing, like anything. We're spending a few dollars, and like we find out, like, the Linux show was like it was costing them thousands of dollars an episode or something like that.
Yeah,
like, what the hell? Like, yeah. how was that? Like, and we're over here, like, we had really high download numbers. And we did it for free, you know, and we're still doing it.
Still do for free.
Yeah. And we had that sponsor that one time.
Yep.
And we just gave the money away to, what was his name? Jonathan Nadeau's organization. The one that he recommended or something, Linux.
Blind
Linux, you know, helping them. I think we gave Rich got us that. Then we gave him the money right to the charity. We had a actually. We, you know what? I stand corrected. We did have a sponsorship, who just would pay us, like, I think it was. They originally came on and said $100 a month, and we would put. We would mention
I them. Forget. I remember. That was before I joined, but
yeah, this is like the first first year or so. So we had that for like a year, and that was just going to pay for hosting fees and all that stuff. We never really like that covered some costs with the money that we actually made from them. And we bought we got some equipment, but it really never amounted to much. Like, we didn't make a profit on any of this stuff, and nobody walked away with pocketing the money, but it paid for hosting and everything for a while. And then we found cheaper hosting options after that. It was becoming more commoditized. Anyway, sorry, Joel, go ahead. Did they get him again?
No. I was struggling finding the mute button. No. But it's been a long time. Link was always willing to talk to you. Always willing to, like, in my case, we're both Christians. We pray for each other, and he was such a good guy. I have several things that he sent me, some of which was when I was in the apartment. He sent me a couple knives, and I'm actually carrying the rest of the month. I'm carrying one of the knives he sent me, which has a Christian flag on it and John 3:16 on the blade. So I'm carrying that, and I really appreciate that. And somewhere around here, I got some prayer beads he made for me, but stuff happens when you move. But you know, I just remember hanging out with him at OLF, and we would go out to BD Mongolian and stuff ourselves silly, hanging out. Like, we were at the first or second year we did OLF. And we were running the drink tickets, and he and Alan would go out and grab a cigar, and it was a good time. And I'm gonna miss him quite a bit. And I really appreciate everything he's done for this show and for me. And I'll miss him, man.
Yeah. I remember I used to go hang out at his house. We used to work on some stuff there, and those were always good times. And I think, yep. Charlotte was really young at that time.
Both times I went to San Diego when I'm with my current company, when I was still in professional services, I met up with him for dinner. One time when they were actually early on in my career, when I first started working with Elysian, who I'm working with now, one of my first clients was in St. David's, Pennsylvania, which wasn't that far from Downingtown. So I met up with Lincoln Charlotte for dinner there. And I'm not Charlotte. I'm Lincoln Michelle. Dang. But, I never did get a chance to meet his daughter. His daughter was already, out of the house and all that stuff by the time I did those trips. So, but, and then, of course, OLF and stuff, I have pictures of him at OLF, and I got a picture I shared this week earlier of Luke and Link at OLF in 2008. And God.
Yeah, something,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And I have to say this too, knowing what he was going through, a little over a year ago, I was dying. They were concerned about my kidneys. All right. And knowing what he started just going through it back then. And knowing him doing dialysis, I was bound and determined not to need that. And he was my wake up call. Dude, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, man.
But he was my wake up call on getting serious about my health, and and in that time period, now my kidney functions are normal now. I lost over 100 pounds now, and I've ran my first 5K, and I'm doing all these things, And like I said, I posted earlier this week online that my first Mammoth March this year is going to be dedicated to Link.
And that's great. I mean, he's an inspiration.
I mean, it's, you know, I was bound and determined not to be put in that situation that he was put in. And so there we go.
It stinks.
Yep. But the best part with Link was he was funny, man. I mean, in the first year of the show, we'll play this later, but he recorded the 12 Days of Christmas tech show style. And let me tell you, that is hilarious.
That's some good stuff.
Yeah, I saw you posted that. I'd forgotten all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that in years.
I should have played it more often.
Should have, man, because it's freaking hilarious.
It is. We're going to play it in a bit. Alan, were you at the Tiki Bar with us?
Every time.
That's right. How many times did we go? I remember one. We must have gone more than that, didn't we? Or was it?
I think we went at least 3 times.
Okay, because I remember
it got,
that.
It got to a point being really hard because it's trying to get all of us at the same point, you know, to be open at the same time.
To get there. Oh, my goodness. And that was pretty far away, too, wasn't it? I mean, relatively speaking.
It was a bit from where we were living, but it's also the middle of nowhere. So basically, it looked like a house if you weren't careful. You drive right past it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a good time. So we were there. It's you and Link and Michelle, and I was there, and my wife was there. And I think that it was only – that's how we ever got to go to the Tiki Bar, was just – the three of us.
We had somebody. I had his name until I started to talk. Had met us there. It'll come back to me. But one of our other listeners was there. I can't.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Was he the guy that lived outside of Hellertown? Oh, he lived close by.
Yeah, he lived in that general area, but yeah, I can't remember his name now because, like I said, I just started talking. It's gone. It's like problems of getting old. But
well, I should go back and listen to some old episodes because there are a bunch of people I can't remember names that used to hang around with us and stuff. There was a guy I used to hang out with who was out there, outside of Hellertown, and I forget his name now. Oh.
Hey, I'm going to walk away from the computer. I'll be right back.
All right. Yeah. Well. Holy mackerel, it's almost showtime. You're what?
I was trying to think, and it's like, I can't remember that guy's name now. I bought a case from him. He worked at the time, he worked at a company that he convinced him to make raspberry pies. This was like when, like, the one or the two, I think it was. But he made these really nice aluminum cases for him. I bought one from him, but I can't, oh, man.
Do you remember, do you remember that guy who... who came to the Lug?
Who sent us the "Wouldn't You Like to Know" songs?
No, the asshole. He was kind of a jerk, and he would berate everybody's hardware and think he knew better than everybody else, and he like really put Jen down, and then Link told him to get the hell out of here in the forum, I think, or was it on the mailing list? We had a mailing list, too, for the Lug.
I do remember what you're talking about, but I don't remember what the guy's name was.
Well, I don't remember what the guy's name was either. I think his name started with
I think his name had a Z in it somewhere. Like, but this was early on. Yeah, this was the LV Lug stuff. That guy was a jerk, man. He was nasty. He was not a nice person. He was better. Yeah, he thought he knew better than Alan, and then we had to put him in his place, right?
Damn right.
Yeah. Yeah, Link told him to get the hell out. I remember. Oh man, who was that kid? Who was the kid that did the presentation of FEWM where it was like he changed his theme to be like blue, dark blue on light blue, or this is like blue on blue, and you couldn't see a damn thing he was doing. Remember that?
Oh yeah, that was that kid that was like hyperactive.
Yeah, and he was.
Wasn't he? Yeah, and then all of a sudden he was like, I remember his father saying that, like, telling us that he suddenly calmed down because he started working on Linux stuff, and he just, he went from being the hyperactive kid to being the nerd. But yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, his father was really thankful. He was a good kid, and I remember Lincoln helping him out and all sorts of stuff.
Now, did you guys know or meet Russ before OLF, Russ Winter? That's I don't remember.
Yeah.
He's the one that cooked technologies that had the Raspberry Pi cases.
Okay, if Russ did not live too far away from us, I think he was.
No.
Yeah, I was going. It's an R, but I could not remember a name.
Him and his father, they were. I want to say Russ did. I think. And I could be getting this wrong, and maybe I'm mixing Russ up with somebody else, but I think Russ was closer to a few other Linux user groups.
Yeah.
I think he had come up to one of ours at one point, and I think we made a trek down to, and maybe it wasn't Russ, the group that Russ was a part of that we went down, but it was pretty far away. And I know it was like a long drive. And I say long, it was probably more than 45 minutes, right? So it was southwest of where we were. But we knew of Russ had started he had a show, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he had started a show before we went to OLF, I believe. And
yeah, I forget what the name of it was. I could ask Tracy Holtz. I could ask. I know because he was on some of Russ's shows.
High
Tech Redneck.
If only I could look at a list of Linux shows.
Right.
Oh, look at this. Shows that are no longer active. So
on the linuxlink.net.
Holy moly, this goes back a lot. So we got Lug Radio, Linux. So Linux Questions was Linux News Log. That wasn't Linux Australia. A lot of Linux links.
You need to make an update because some of these shows haven't produced in a while.
Yeah, no kidding. I kind of stopped doing it. Oh man, what late, was late,
like
show?
Late Night Linux? I ain't never heard that. Ask Noah, I have heard of. I think he's still producing. SMLR hasn't produced in a while. Linux for the rest of us hasn't produced in a while.
Late Night Linux is still on.
Late Night Linux is? Okay, I didn't know. Nightwise Radio, I haven't heard one from there. Mintcast, that's how Joe Boylan got involved. He's on still on Mintcast. Floss Weekly is done.
It is not. It's still going.
Oh, where did they move? It wasn't on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, they're on Hackaday.
Okay.
I think they're still on Twit too, but they've officially moved to Hackaday.
Hosted by Doc Searles too. Actually, no, it says, although the show is no longer in production at Twit. You can enjoy episodes from our archives, so it's not on Twit anymore.
Oh, okay, then it's just on Hackaday. They're still there, though.
Right. Yeah, they haven't had a show on Twit since January last year, or this year. January this year. And I know for a while Aaron Newcomb was on it. Aaron actually just had, he's on the Retro Hack Shack YouTube channel, and he just had eye surgery recently, too.
I know one of these shows was Russ Werner, and I can't remember which one it is. Holy mackerel, there's so many. There are so many. Wait, was it? Oh, no.
Techie Geek.
Was it the Techie Geek?
It was the Techie Geek.
How did I, wait, where, I know I have that on my list.
He's up on the Internet Archive.
Oh, the Techie Geek. What do I have there? Join Russ.
Oh, yeah. I looked at that. Why did I think, why didn't I think Russ Werner? I was thinking of, Russ, what's his name from, Linux and the Ham Shack?
Russ Woodman.
Isn't that his name? Linux and the Ham Shack, Russ?
Russ, yes, Russ Woodman. KFITUX.
Yeah. That's who I was thinking when I saw Russ. I should have, of course, it was a Techie Geek. There we go. Holy moly.
Oh, yeah. Oh. There it is, a Hackaday Floss Weekly. Holy crap. It's just like what they did with Ham Nation. Ham Nation's a YouTube only thing. YouTube, it's on another guy's channel. I'm trying to remember the name of the channel for him. But I don't watch that show, and it's been, I don't, ever since Bob Heil passed, I haven't watched that show.
Now, I remember when we went as a lug to the Linux World Expo at the Jacob Javits Center. Do you remember that, Alan?
New York.
Dakota Beer.
Yeah. Yep. Wait, Murph, you weren't there with us for that, were you?
I was not, but I actually may have been there, but not with you guys.
Okay.
Right.
And so on the ride home, there was plenty of Dakota Kick to go around. I remember Alan swinging on the stripper pole. And Link said, "Take off your shirt, Alan." Alan did, and Link was stuffing dollar bills into his G-string. Remember that, Alan?
Most money I ever made in one night.
Yeah. That was a good time, man. Holy moly. The show's
been, you know, I remember
20 years old, and that was before the show.
It was the last OLF in Spartanburg, not OLF, Self in Spartanburg. Me, Dave Yates, I think you were there, and Patrick Volkerding. We're all hanging outside, all right? And we're shooting the shit and drinking beer. And there was that wedding party that raided Self that year because they hopped in onto the party, which was at the bar, and drank a whole pile of free beer, right? And one of the girls in the wedding party, she walks right out, flashes us her tits, and goes, "We love computers." And Dave and Patrick Volkerding just talk like nothing happened. Me and Dan were like, "Whoa."
I think Dual Core was there too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Dual
yeah.
Core was there. And yeah. I don't know if Klaatu was there. I mean, he was there, but I don't think he was there when
he
that
was out.
Happened.
He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't there when that happened. But I'm like, Dave and Patrick are just talking like there wasn't this hot chick with nice looking tits.
You're like, "Didn't you see that?"
And they're like, what? And I'm like, dude, really?
Yeah, I remember Self wasn't too happy with that. I think Dave, because no. I think those people at the wedding were
yeah, and that's using when the tickets. Dave, that's when Dave quit. Like the fallout from that.
Was that the Self, or was that Ohio Linux Fest, where Pegwall showed South up East. Without any clothes?
No, that was Ohio Linux Fest.
Oh wait, that was Pegwall, right? That wasn't 3:30. That was Pegwell who showed up. He forgot his clothes.
Yeah, it was so, Pegwell.
And we were giving him T-shirts and stuff, so he got something clean to wear every day. Oh, that guy. And
right.
And that wasn't that also when we met 3:30's brother, who looks nothing like 3:30. I'm like, who the hell is he? Do you remember 3:30's brother, Alan?
I do not remember, no.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think, but I don't remember.
Like 3:30.
Was he a good-looking one of the two?
Yeah, he was like, I'm like, dude, what happened? Do you have same parents? What's going on here? Yeah, they look so different. That was a big thing. I think we talked about that on the show, too. I remember that. Oh, we got to start wrapping this show up. I got to get to bed. Oh, but yeah, man, it's hard to believe we're not going to be able to do another reunion show. It's a bummer. I'm going to miss Link.
Yeah.
The first one.
I'm keeping tabs there now, Joel.
Well, you know, we're none of us are getting any younger, that's for sure.
He's become our archivist.
There you go. Remember Art?
Art.
Do you remember Art Allen? He was like an old kind of like, I think he loved riding motorcycles. And I think he was part of the Lug. And he came down on, I don't think it was it the first Self? He rode down from the Lehigh Valley to my place. Maybe it wasn't the first Self. And then I drove out and picked up Chad. And I wonder if Manfry was at... No, I thought Manfry went, though. But, oh, you know what? That might have been Ohio Linux Fest. That Art came down. I went out cross, picked up Chad. We went to Ohio Linux Fest. Chad, that was, I think, Chad's last Ohio Linux Fest. Or again, this could be South, because that's when he got the bottle thrown in. Or maybe this was South Self, one of the first
self
that Chad 2018. And I went.
Self 2018 was when we had that. We had the one talk where because we were Self was 10 years old, and think we were at the time too, if I remember right.
Yeah, you know what? I think or this something had to like be, that. Yeah, I think this had to be Self, because this was when I was living in the other house in Hampton. Art came down. I drove, picked up Chad. We went and we came back. I dropped Chad off, and then right before we got back to my house, Art let the nastiest fart in my car.
Well, yeah, and that reminds me of.
Someone was avenging us for the elevator incident.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And that reminds me of a line in the song we'll play tonight.
Yeah, I guess.
Because it is Christmas.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll wrap this up. I'll play the 12 Days of Christmas, and then I will attack.
Authored and sung by our good friend Link. Link, we'll miss you, buddy.
Yep. And then I'll attach the RMS interview at the end of this and put this show out. It'll be an extra long one. So I'll play this and then our usual outro and dedicate this show to Link. Anybody else have anything to say?
Merry Christmas. See you in 2025.
That was it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Yeah, this will be the last show of the year. Next week is obviously a holiday, and then the following week is the HPR,
yes.
Public Radio 24-hour show. So head over to hpr.org for more information on that. And here we go. 12 days of Christmas. 12 days of tech show Christmas. Here we go.
Yes.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, folks.
On the first day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me a Linux distro on a CD. On the second day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me two Skype phone calls and a Linux distro on a CD. On the third day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me three geeks a chatting, two Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD. On the fourth day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me four blogs of blogging, three geeks a chatting, two Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD. On the fifth day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me Dan Farchi.
Aww, that's not nice.
Four blogs of blogging, three geeks a chatting, two Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD. On the sixth day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me six computers running Dan Farchi. Four blogs of blogging, three geeks of chatting, two Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD. On the seventh day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me seven bits of playing, six computers running Dan Farchi. Four blogs of one, three geeks of chatting, two Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro on a CD.
Wow, this is getting long. How about we move along to the money verse?
On the 12th day of Christmas, the tech show gave to me 12 podcast casting, 11 Slackware updates, 10 fingers typing, 9 fingers compiling, 8 CDs burning, 7 bits of playing, 6 computers running, 3 Dan is farting, 4 blogs of blogging, 3 geeks of chatting, 2 Skype phone calls, and a Linux distro.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
I am short.
Oh my god!
It's Hacker Public Radio!
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I listened to the first mention of Daddy has a gun on the show this week. It was audio you were recording of teaching, Paige how to install Linux.
We wanted to prove how easy it is to install Linux by, I've videotaped Paige installing Linux.
And she saw your crossbow.
That was Avery. No, it, so.
That was Avery?
Yeah, Avery said that, I was it the crossbow? I always thought it was the camera she thought was a gun. It was a crossbow. That's right. I had this little
crossbow
that didn't really, it never really worked or whatever. It's like, Dad, you got a gun. I'm like, so we clipped that and kept it. You know what? I'm wondering now if I should, instead of including the RMS interview at the end of this show, if maybe I should just put it out as a separate show.
Put it out next week, man.
Yeah, that's what I should do. I will do that. I'll put it on the feed for next week. Whew. Wait, is RMS still alive?
Yes, he is. He's battling cancer, but he's still alive. Okay. I looked that up, actually.
I know he was battling cancer. I didn't know if he was still alive or not.
I think so. At least in the places that I've seen it, I don't think it mentioned he passed.
You know, speaking of installing Linux, it was always fairly easy. And the thing is, the one place everybody seemed to always have a hang-up was partitioning a hard drive.
Yep.
Because nobody ever really understood how to partition a hard drive. And that was where Paige had her hang-up, too.
Huh? F-disk sucked, and CF-disk was a little easier.
Yeah, but nobody understood what the hell that was.
Yeah, people don't understand how to partition Windows disks any better. It's just that you don't have to because the computer comes with it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, and that was always a problem. And I don't mean it was just Linux or whatever. And obviously not, because Windows was the same way. Like, when the first thing that somebody's presented with is you got to partition your hard drive, you're like, what the hell are you talking about? That's where everybody gets lost. Like so many people got lost, at least that I experienced. And then I thought that even Slackware's installation was pretty straightforward. You just read the stuff, it tells you exactly what to do, but the partitioning was the killer part for everything. Ubuntu, I think, made it a little easier, but still people are always confused by that.
Now you got what is the disk program? I don't know. I hardly ever partition drives anymore, because if I'm installing it, I usually wipe out the whole drive. Because I don't give a crap about keeping Windows
G-parted?
On it.
Is that it? No, there's something
that's
else.
G-parted, yeah.
I thought there's something else after G-parted.
G-parted is the big one that I remember.
Because I always used to use F-disk or CF-disk. And then with like Ubuntu, they had
the early part of the show. You guys were hardcore Slackware dudes.
Yeah, well, if you wanted to install Slackware, you can get comfortable with F-disk or CF-disk. They had there after a while too. Still got a Slackware system here. Yeah, I love Slackware.
Now, what's funny is I prefer Manjaro now over Ubuntu. I don't know why anymore.
I love Manjaro. I love Arch.
We still use RHEL at work and CentOS in a couple places. Although, I think I eventually migrate to Rocky.
I like Debian. Ooh, made me tired, Joel.
All right, folks, I'm getting out of here.
I think it is Murph.
See you, Murph, man. We need to make sure that we get the control of tilts.org, and I think you said you had access to it, but you need to. I don't know if you need to talk to Michelle about that or not.
Got to figure something else to do.
It's time to redesign it too, because then I noticed my bio on the page still has me working at the college, and I haven't worked there for 10 years.
Yeah, you gotta change a lot.
My official 10-year anniversary with Illusion will be June, but technically I've already been there for 10 years. I was there a year and a half contractor. So, wonder if Stallman still uses that Lamote PC.
Who knows?
Wait. I think the whole community's been mourning our buddy.
What happened to Murr?
What do you mean, what happened to me? I'm right here.
Okay. He's right there. I told you to shut up, talking. And then you did. And I was like, that's not the Murph I know. He wouldn't listen to me.
Does anyone listen to you, Dan?
No.
No.
Oh. Oh, this is 180.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm just moving these files.
I gotta upload these to Internet Archive. I have a script to do it and everything too, and I'm like, why don't I just
you know
do
what?
It?
Internet. I was searching for those few clips. I didn't even get a chance to go all the way through the Stallman interview. I was going to try and pull some of the choice quotes out of there. But trying to find shit on Internet Archive is a pain in the fucking ass, man. I did find it eventually, but it's like, oh, man.
Oh, you
well,
mean
that,
because we don't have any like show any notes or anything that say what episode it was?
Well, no, you get there's a big giant text file that has a whole bunch of different things. That's how I found the 12 days in the Stallman interview. So that I found.
Hey, Richard, this is Dan Walsh.
Yeah, there you go.
The new Linux Link Tech Show. How are you doing?
Well, I've got
a. Oh, yeah.
That was a long time.
Yeah,
that was 20 years ago almost.
Tech Show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to see if I can't go in there and yank out the link quotes, and we should play them sometime because they were, because Link and him just, I listened to tail end of it, you know, Link's like, I bite my tongue the whole time, because he was.
Well, you know what
of course,
I should
now
do
Stallman's
is...
got.
We'll do the show, and
play the 12 days. That one's a
well. We'll do
you
I'll
gotta,
attach,
that's just good.
I'll attach the RMS interview after the show.
There you go.
And I don't have much to talk about, and Joe's not here, and Dave is not here, and Murph is welcome to speak. But after, you know, after
yeah.
we talk about Link, and then, you know, if there's anything else you want to add, we could just end the show there, and I can add that, because that's like an hour interview on there. And then you can go do your water
right.
you're going to do. Because, like I said,
oh,
end
I'm,
of the year.
So my steps are good.
Well.
My steps are real, real good. Today I'm over 12,000 today.
Well, you can make it 14,000. Whatever you want to do, man.
Well, I might when I'm baking cookies. Actually, I only have 500 before that because I went. Kroger's new ad had the buy two get three free on the pop, so I just went and grabbed some more, and grabbed one I hardly ever drink. Mountain Dew Coke Red Zero or Code Red Zero. Been
thought,
a while since I had one of those. I thought, why not?
I thought you were buying Kroger soda at five. Like,
nope.
Was it
name plus, brand? No, it's buy two, you buy two and you get three 12s free. So you get five 12 packs of Coke for the cost of two.
How much is the cost of
really
two?
Good price? Roughly $20 with today's economy.
Okay, so $20 for five. See, here's the thing.
That's a really good deal, dude.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not a good deal, right? For buying.
Right.
Well,
right,
here's
right.
why I say it isn't a good deal, right? And. I mean, it is and it isn't, but so they always have every other week the sales here, and I see them. One week it's Pepsi, buy one, get one free. The next week it's Coke, all buy right. one, get one free. And then the price regularly is like $8.99, right? So 1 week for $8.99. No, is it $8.99? Yeah, it is. It is. It is. Holy crap, it is. It's like $8.99 or something.
Yeah, it's freaking expensive.
Okay.
Now
$8.99 to buy one, get one free.
I still pay less money if I buy 2 12 packs of either Kroger or Food Lion brand soda. Like, it's always a dollar cheaper than, like, for two packs than it is for 1 12 pack. So I would look at that and say, for $15, $16,
Kroger tastes like ass.
I don't think it tastes like ass. You don't like Kroger soda?
I don't like it. Nah.
I do. Now, of course, they don't have... I mean, it doesn't taste exactly like Coke.
No, well, first off, they don't have Dr. Pepper.
And, well, they... Food Lion has Dr. Thunder, baby.
Ooh.
No, wait. It's not. Is it? Yeah, I think it's Dr. Thunder. Maybe it's Dr. What is the damn Food Lion Dr.
Well, let me tell you this, though. That's not as bad as now, up here, on the way back up, and probably on the way down, I'll grab a smaller amount. But on the way back up from my dad's, I'm going to stop somewhere in Kentucky and get me some L.A.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's Dr. Perky. Near, sorry.
Dr. Perky. But... L.A. is a unique Kentucky soda, right? And they make a zero. The only place I can get the zero variety is down there, okay? I can get the sugared version of it up here, but they went like $6 for a six-pack, all right? Down there, same thing. It's probably $4 now is my guess, because they probably are higher now because everything is, but... I'll still, so down there, I'll buy a whole bunch. Up here, if I ever want it, I never buy it because first off, I can only get the sugar one and I don't want to drink that. And and the other thing is they also have other flavors in Kentucky, close to Winchester, Kentucky, where they make the stuff. You know, so it's just a lot cheaper down there for me to get it and make a temporary pit stop and load up. In fact, I'm getting, I had to look at my buddy's text message. I'm getting him some. He'll pay me back. He'll sell me the money when I get here, or when he gets here to pick it up. So you want four sixes of the zeros, so a case basically for him.
Wait.
And
why
I'll
is he breaking?
At least one case or two cases.
Why? They're not four. For two, it's 5 for 2. Where's this fifth one?
But that's different. Different soda, different sale, different everything. Oh. They don't have it. They don't have that up here. So this is a friend. We used to go to the same church, and we're still friends. But every year I end up picking him up. When I go through Kentucky, because we both love that stuff.
Okay, I thought you were talking. He wanted you to pick him up.
Let's see.
Soda from the Kroger.
Oh, there's Alan. Hey, Alan. Soda from the Kroger deal is separate. That's something that's up here.
Okay, I thought we were talking about the deal that. Okay.
No, I moved on. I know, Don. That's my daily or my yearly pickup. I pick up a bunch on the way back.
Oh, he's talking about the soda again.
Hey,
you
know, man,
it's on sale this
shut
week.
Up, Alan. You don't know the power of L8. You come on
it's
here
true. It's
once
true.
Every couple of months. You think you know the power of L8, Alan? You don't know the power
I
of L8.
Not.
He's in Texas, and he gets real Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper's in the right shape bottles and everything.
Yes, that's true. We get all the good ones down here. That's Mexican stuff.
Don't they have different flavors of Dr. Pepper down there, too, I think?
You mean flavors other than what we get in the gas station convenience store here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm not totally sure. I've seen some different flavors of stuff down here. but I haven't really been paying too much attention to it. I know you can get like dirty sodas down here. That's like the big thing.
It's but they put cream in it. Coffee cream.
Yeah, all different kinds. So the wife got a Dr. Pepper with, I think, coconut cream.
With regret?
I tried it. She enjoyed it, but I tried it and like, yeah, I can pass on this.
Yeah, you had the regret, right?
They did have a coconut flavored one, and we had that up here too.
Sounds like
I had never really heard of that stuff until I actually got.
Dirty soda is a new thing. They actually sold. I never could get it, but they sold like a creamer that was designed to go in Dr. Pepper for like a very short time.
Al, are you talking about a place that's like that does like almost like a soda fountain thing where they made it for you, not that you bought it in a can or a bottle?
Well, no, this is she got this at a Sonic down here.
Oh,
but they
right.
do have I think it's called Swag on it, which is like specializes in like dirty sodas.
Okay, what you're talking about.
Right.
All right. That's
dirty soda is a drink made by dirty soda is a drink made by adding cream, flavored syrups, or fruit juices to soda. So, like, you can add, like, coconut cream or something like that. Yeah.
There you go. All right. We should start the show.
And you got the Sonic Ice. Yes.
All right. You ready to start the show now? Are we done with the Sonic Ice? Are you finished, Joel? Ice? All right. How you doing, Alan?
Sonic Ice.
Not too bad. I got to remember to push the talk button here all the time.
All right.
Because I'm on my phone tonight, so.
And Murph, cool. Murph, baby. Yeah, Murphy, baby.